big things happening at the Nile Ranch as we speak. We have some intense things happening.
Nile's Ranch and Fecundity Farm.
And Fecundity Farm, I'm sorry. Yes, and Fecundity Farm.
You got to say the whole name.
Yeah, I apologize.
Especially given the events themselves, which are very, very fecund themselves, you know, events.
It is. They are, yes. What's going on?
Currently, my sow is...
A sow is...
Farrowing.
What is a sow?
A sow is a female pig that has given birth. Until a female pig has given birth, she is referred to as a gilt. Not spelled the same as like Catholic guilt.
Okay, I was like, shame, shame.
How dare you not bear children? No, so with the nomenclature, since you asked.
Yes.
Gilt, who is pregnant, is still a gilt. She only is a sow after she farrows, after she gives birth.
Okay.
So this is my sow. This is her third litter. And she's, it's happening right now.
As we're recording.
Yeah.
And it's gone roller coaster kind of events.
You know, this has been a tough day for her. It's been, her labor is like, I don't want to go like too deep into it, but
sure.
It's been a long process, much, much longer than the previous two. For unknown reasons.
We don't know, yes.
But she's doing good. It's just slow going.
She's doing well. The babies are all not doing great.
Yes. Piglets are known to die sometimes. In this case, some of them, I think it's just due to the slow delivery. There's a window where they are no longer connected,
mm-hmm.
and they need to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that window is too long... then
they don't make it.
So we've had a few of those, but we're still celebrating the new life that we have, you know.
Yes.
It's a happy day.
You have four right now, correct?
Yes, we were out there before we came in here to record, there was four.
Right.
Her first litter, she had
10,
and then the second litter she had 12.
Mm-hmm.
So expecting something in that neighborhood this time as well.
And then you have another sow that's pregnant.
Yes. So I'm thinking she'll probably deliver in 3 or 4 days.
So you guys got just a lot of piglets coming around.
Yeah. Pretty exciting.
This would be great.
Baby piglets are very cute.
Yes, they are really cute.
They're very, very cute. You know what? They're a lot like puppies.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the way they kind of like pile on each other.
And kind of hop around.
And they're, yeah. They just kind of look like puppies. They kind of act like puppies.
Yeah.
So if you think about that, like that's kind of what, if you've ever seen baby puppies and know how cute they are, that's very similar to what we have in our barn.
Yes. Boys and girl ratio so far?
So far we have 3 girls and 1 boy.
Okay, great.
Which I'm happy about.
Yes.
Less
castrating.
Less, yes. Less work for me tomorrow.
Yes. Should be great. Which,
yeah, it's not fun work.
No.
Definitely the least fun thing about the whole process.
Process.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. So our chickens are all doing well at our place.
Good. Some of your chickens here at my place.
Some of my chickens are at your place. Yes. So when Lady Haley had to go to the hospital, we were about a week away from hatching new chicks. And we were like, what are we going to do? We're not even there. So luckily I called you and I was like, dude, I need you to go get the eggs because they're about to hatch. And now I also need you to take care of this chicken.
luckily, chicks are very easy to care for.
Yes. And you have a bunch of the kids. So
yeah, they don't care.
They can just help.
They're over, well, over that.
But they can do it.
They can help. But
feed,
really, it's
feed
like,
and water.
You know, you keep the feeder... I mean, it's like
keep the water clean.
Once every, you know, few, 5 days, you know, or
yeah,
they just don't need a whole lot in the beginning.
Right.
Yeah. A heat lamp, some shelter, food and water.
Yeah.
Some pine shavings.
Yeah.
They'll be good to go.
We are going to be getting a couple dogs. soon at the Minahan Ranch or Minahan Place, Porter on Prairie Family Farm. But my kids don't know that yet. They don't listen to the show, so that's good. But they're guard dogs. You know, they're outside dogs.
To guard the chickens.
To guard the chickens. And, you know, eventually we'll have pigs as well. Mm-hmm. And we live where we have a little green belt in the back there. And so there's definitely coyotes back in there.
Yeah.
And they haven't been a problem yet. We've heard them. But, you know, as we add more and more to our menu, the coyotes will... you know, could potentially
sure
be more and more intrigued with what we got going on.
I'll tell you, when we got pigs, mm-hmm. Just over 2 years ago, in fact, today is 2 years to the day when our sow, who's farrowing right now, we got her and she gave birth to her first litter 2 years ago to the day. Very, very coincidental.
On St. Thomas Aquinas' feast day.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible? We should name one of them Thomas. And at the time, I had a trail cam out the pond, which is right behind my barn, right where all the animals are, or where the pigs are anyway. And every night, I could go out and see a bobcat and coyotes come into the pond to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really worried, you know, when we have these piglets. I mean, that would be a really great snack.
Right.
As soon as the pigs showed up, we didn't see a bobcat or coyotes for months. I mean, they disappeared, and I found out later, yeah, they're terrified of pigs. You mean that pig, our sow, she's, yeah. I think she's about 1,000 pounds.
Dude, that, yeah, okay. Your pig is massive.
There's no coyote that's going to do anything. She will eat the coyote. Like, what does a coyote weigh, like 35, 40 pounds?
Yeah.
A big one, maybe 45 pounds.
Yeah, we're not in Canada, so right. These are small.
That's right. I mean, she will just crush 45 pounds with one paw. I mean, one of her legs probably weighs more than 45 pounds.
Yeah, they're
so,
she's big.
That made sense. Like, they just disappeared. When they hear pigs, they're like, no, no, no.
I'm out.
I'm staying away.
Yeah.
Don't need it.
Yeah.
Definitely don't need it.
What do you think the biggest win or learning lesson aspect that you maybe even hadn't thought of or expected that your kids have taken on from having these experiences of birth, of, you know, death, of like, yeah, all this whole, the cycle of life within animals, like very up close and personal?
So I think that's a good question. I have two things.
Okay.
One of them is exactly what you just said, a very personal experience with the cycle of life, with birth and death, right? And often at the same time, right? It's just very common, especially with pigs, even when they're all born healthy, that it's very common for them to get laid on. Their mother accidentally lays mm-hmm. over on one of them, and that's the end. Mm-hmm. You know, she weighs 1,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's just such a common, it almost always happens in every litter. You have some sows who are very, very, very gentle, who can have a reputation for taking more care. But so that's a sad thing, right? And so for them as kids to have an experience with that, of caring for these, you know, because when you have an animal, you care for it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a strange relationship to raise and truly care for and try to provide a quality of life that's in accord with the nature of this animal for something that you are going to slaughter yourself with your own hands, mm-hmm. right? There's like a very strange relationship that forms in your own mind with this animal, right? And the kids know that. So that's one thing, that they have this firsthand experience with life and death. The other one, which is kind of tied up with it, is a very gradual and I think natural realization of the birds and the bees. Okay, so we have chickens and roosters right in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
They see the roosters and the chickens together, okay? And they put things together on their own, right? It's not like we don't talk about it, right? We answer, you know, we have those conversations at appropriate times with their kids, right? But we tell them things that are, you know, because first you have kids ask questions about like, oh, where do babies come from? And you give them an answer that's appropriate for like a 4 or 5 year old.
Right.
And that answer that was appropriate for them, they kind of, they put more of it together as they get older, right? So there has just been a really natural, and I think a really beautiful, watching my kids have these realizations about male and female and where do babies come from? What is this cycle of life? So that's the other thing, that it's just been a very organic and a very natural kind of realization process for them.
Has anything surprising come from you from like learning the process?
Well, kind of just what I talked about earlier about having to struggle with this, not struggle with it, but that conflicting dynamic between truly caring for these animals and knowing that this,
I will eat you.
By my own hand,
mm-hmm.
will you be slain?
Yeah. I will provide your end.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which I do, you know, which in itself is a good.
Yeah.
Fulfilling the telos, the end, as you put it, of these animals in a good way.
The best way that they're made for.
Yeah.
Very cool. We're going to talk about perseverance tonight?
That's right.
All right, let's do it.
A couple years ago, when Adam and I decided we wanted to lead our first pilgrimage, we asked around to find out who should we work with to help do this. And the thing we heard over and over again was Select International Tours. That's who you got to use. They're the best. Well, having used Select now, I can attest that they're incredible. No matter where it is you want to go in the world, Select has a tour ready for you. So whether you're interested in leading a pilgrimage or attending one, do yourself a favor and go to selectinternationaltours.com and take a look at everything they have to offer. You won't regret it. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're drinking a little Isle of Arran scotch this evening, product of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society. Still doesn't sponsor the show.
Even after,
I think what we need to do is have everyone send emails saying that they want to be a subscriber to the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society, but they refuse to do so
until
they sponsor our show.
That's a good idea. I like that idea.
Would love that. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But so this is an island scotch. There's not very many of them. What are your thoughts?
It's very delicious. Yeah. On the nose, it's very sweet, mm-hmm. and fruity, and it's very, for how strong it is. I was looking at it, I was like, man, it's 61.8% ABV. Which is very strong. It's very easy to drink.
It is. It also still has some of that ocean salt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little bit of iodine in there, you know, similar to like one of the Islay scotches, but it doesn't have the smoke.
Yeah, the hard peat.
The peat.
Harsh.
Right.
There's no harsh.
Yes, but it does have some of that briny flavor to it, which I think I really like.
It's very good. Be great with pork.
Yeah, dude. Oh, it would be good with pork. Indeed. So, we're going to talk about perseverance today. This is a very manly virtue. Not that women can't have perseverance. Of course they do. Don't send us any emails. But it is certainly, there's something manly. There's something virile and strong about perseverance, right? That this is a virtue that is expected more so to be exemplified in the masculine personalities. That, you know, men,
would you say it's because it's tied to fortitude and fortitude?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
it is more of a masculine virtue insofar as because fortitude is dealing with life and death, like typically protecting one's, you know, family, country, going into war.
Into battle, yeah. Yes, I do think that that's why. But also that men are made for physically hard things. And of course, there can be other kinds of there's mental perseverance, there's other kinds of perseverance, but you know, classically, traditionally, when you think about it, you think about enduring difficulty, you know, in some sort of outward physical way. And so I think for that reason, it's also associated with masculinity, for, you know, because those are obvious. So I wanted to pull up what St. Thomas.
He says, perseverance is a virtue whereby a man persists in the good until the end.
Do you have your notes? Oh, you do have your notes.
I do.
I was like, man, that was awesome, dude. You just like had that right to get ready to go.
Yes. Perseverance is a virtue whereby a man persists in the good until the end. It's connected to fortitude. Like we said, it's distinct because fortitude resists fear, right? So fortitude, courage, is kind of the same thing. Fortitude resists fear. Perseverance resists weariness and discouragement. This is why I think it's very interesting that a perseverance is, I would say, a virtue for our times, because we're in the microwave culture, we're instant gratification culture, that if we don't experience something in the result of it quickly, that we find it to be either not working, I don't want to do it anymore, maybe I lose interest very quickly, my thought process of is this even worth doing kind of dwindles, like you slowly gravitate away from that thing, right? And you see this is why New Year's resolutions a lot of times don't hold out past February, because you start gung-ho, and then you just kind of slowly, the habit just kind of stops.
Yeah.
And it's not because you just one day don't do it. It's like, well, it's because I didn't do it one day, and then I didn't do it 2 days, and then now my routine is no longer incorporating that thing.
And next thing you know, you've totally forgotten that you've been trying to do it.
Right.
Also, New Year's resolutions are notoriously poorly outlined. You know, they're often full of all kinds of platitudes, like new year, new me.
Mm-hmm.
That's whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, what does that even mean? That's not a resolution, you know, or like, I'm going to lose weight. That's a hope,
right?
That's like a hopeful you're hoping that that's the outcome, but it's not a resolution.
Yeah.
The resolution is like, I'm going to stop drinking Coca-Cola, or I'm going to, you know, like, it needs to be something you can actually do. Like losing weight, that's the result, hopeful result of whatever a resolution ought to be. So also New Year's resolutions are just terrible in their planning and execution.
Right.
And
perseverance happens really not like in the peaks. It doesn't happen in the peaks. It happens in the plateaus. Like perseverance doesn't happen in the moments of crisis or the moments of I need something immediately. It happens in the mundane, monotonous, I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And I have to decide if I want to still do it.
And it doesn't feel like a big deal anymore.
Right.
Right. I want to go back to what Thomas said here, because there's something that what he says, I think this is a really key to focus in on. He says,
okay.
Perseverance denotes a kind of duration, namely that a man persists long in a good purpose or in doing good. So that's a crucial part of this definition, that perseverance isn't just struggling through difficulty, but it's actually in pursuit of the good. So I think Thomas would say, if you're not pursuing a good, it's not perseverance, right? It's you just trying really hard. I don't know, maybe he'd have another name for it. I don't know. But that it's in pursuit of the good. Okay, so with this definition in mind, it does kind of broaden out perseverance into a whole other list of categories. And we started off by saying, oh, that classically perseverance has looked like this. People tend to, the first thing they think of are these other like masculine traits. But just looking at this definition here, no, it can be any pursuit of any good, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, you know, whether it's something in your appetites, whether it's, you know, physically training your body, anything. So any pursuit of the good, if you have long, a kind of duration, persisting long in a good purpose.
Right. And the good typically is a feature that happens slowly, right? The good life, so to speak, is not something that you just, oh, today I am now living the good life.
Mm-hmm.
The virtuous life happens over a long period of time. The spiritual life, the growth of spiritual life happens over a long period of time. And so
that's why it can be so frustrating.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's why, men quit, not because the good is, they see it as an evil, or they don't see it as a good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because the good is slow.
Yeah. You know, what else, you know, kind of comes to mind about this, his definition of perseverance is that he doesn't actually say it depends on how hard something is. He just says that perseverance is long duration, long persisting in pursuing the good. So it doesn't even have to be something very challenging. It can just be, I am continuing to say yes to the pursuit of this good.
Mm.
Okay, even if it's easy for you to do. And in fact, I think eventually it becomes easy to do because habits, they get easier and easier and easier because it's a habit, right? Something you do habitually.
It's a discipline at that point.
Right, that's exactly right. The person who is honest, who has the virtue of honesty, it's not hard for them to tell the truth. They tell the truth by reflex. They're just an honest person. It's not challenging for them to do it. If it was challenging, they probably wouldn't actually have the virtue. They'd be growing in the virtue. But to have the virtue, it's like, oh, it's not hard. So that's just interesting because I think when I certainly do. When I think of perseverance, I think about like kind of enduring and bearing down.
Like grit.
And, yeah, like exactly. Like gritting your teeth and just like getting through it, you know? And certainly that can be perseverance, no doubt. But perseverance, according to Thomas, it doesn't have to be difficult, but it's just about that enduring for, you know, in a long period of time, like continuing to endure whatever for pursuing the good. So I just think that's interesting that to sort of like broaden.
I guess that would be the difference between longanimity and perseverance as
well.
Yeah,
so longanimity would be like suffering.
Suffering for a long period of time.
For a long period of time. And, you know, maybe not even for the good, but sometimes, you know, like you just have a illness or, you know, it's just, but doing it charitably. Continuing to suffer well over a long period of time.
Where do you think obedience comes into play with perseverance? Do you think there's a link between obedience and perseverance?
Yeah, so obedience is almost one of those virtues. You know, there's some virtues who this virtue encompasses kind of all of the virtues. Justice is one of them. Charity is the virtue that encompasses. Obedience, you can kind of do the same thing with, right? If you're all virtues kind of can be obedience because, well, you're being obedient to God's law,
mm-hmm.
right? Or being obedient to the natural law. So you have to be obedient to the good in perseverance. So, you know, it presupposes that you know what the good is to persevere towards.
And now, even from a natural level, I would say that obedient to the goals that you set out for in general, right? It's like, no, I'm being obedient to this because I'm a man of my word. I said I was going to do this, even if it's going to take a long time, even if it's not fun to do and it's monotonous, I'm going to do it because I said I was going to do it. Here's the interesting thing that St. Thomas talks about with perseverance that is, let me just get your raw take on this. He says that perseverance is a habit that can be acquired. So we're talking about virtue. You know, virtue is a habit of the habitual disposition of doing the good. It becomes a discipline. It's like, I am now, I'm an honest man because I'm in the habit of telling the truth, right? It's not something that I'm just done one time. It's like this habit, right? Perseverance is also a habit that can be acquired. But he says perseverance is a habit that can be acquired, but perseverance until the end is a gift from God.
Hmm. Say that again.
Perseverance is as a habit can be acquired, but perseverance until the end is a gift from God.
Hmm. Is he referring to, you know, final perseverance mm-hmm. is...
You've ran the race.
Yeah. So final perseverance is often used as a synonym for a good death. People mm-hmm. use that. In fact, the fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of Our Lady into Heaven, the fruit of that mystery is a good death or final perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use... You'll often hear people say either one. So I suppose that's what he's talking about, where, yes, because having that, dying in friendship of our Lord, you know, is certainly a matter of grace that you cooperate with. But first and foremost, salvation is always, you know, a first act on the part of God that we respond to.
Yeah, I mean, you can have that habit. You can train yourself to be disciplined in perseverance, right? But you can't earn, this is what I think what he's trying to say is, like, you can't actually earn final perseverance. Final perseverance is something that must be prayed for and a complete gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And we've read before, I think even C.S. Lewis talks about this as well, but, you know, when somebody is on their deathbed, that's the moment that they typically are most attacked.
It's his last opportunity
to steal the soul away from our Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, that final perseverance, that final grace is something that has to be prayed for and is a complete gift from God.
Yeah.
It's not something you can earn, I guess. It's like, I've persevered till the end by myself. I've done it all. I've checked all the boxes. So I should be good. It's like, no.
Right.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, I mean, you can lose your salvation up until the last moment of your life. You have to run the race to the end. It's sort of like when you are actually training for a race, your coach will tell you, you run way past that finish line. You don't run to the finish line. You run way past the finish, you know, mm-hmm. that you run hard through it, not to it. Otherwise, you'll give up.
You don't coast at the very end.
Yeah. There's all kinds of YouTube videos about people who do coast at the end.
And then somebody passes.
Those are always very funny, but
yeah. Or the guys,
but not for that guy.
Not for that guy.
Who thought, like, I got this, check me out.
Or the football player who, like, intercepts it and runs it all the way back. And then, like, right before he crosses the goal line, he drops the ball.
It's like, oh, they're fun to watch, but really terrible to experience.
Yeah.
I wanted to read this. This is also, in the Summa, Secunda Secunda. Which is where everything is in the Summa. There's nothing. Actually, the rest of it is blank.
Yeah.
He's talking about the difference between perseverance and constancy.
Okay.
It's like, well, what is the difference? Sound like synonyms to me. So he says, constancy regards firmness against external obstacles. So constancy is firmness against external obstacles. Perseverance regards firmness against weariness caused by length of time. So perseverance is this virtue that is oriented inward, right? That it's not that I'm standing firm against these things outward. Obviously, that's going to happen because perseverance is like, no, I refuse to become wearied by these things. I will train my mind and attitude, right? I won't become despairing. I won't let myself get down, right? There's like, oh, this is just, I hate this. You know, you might have constancy and you might be like, oh, you complain. And it's like, I hate this, is the worst. Okay. That's not perseverance. It might be constant in your outward efforts, but you have abandoned perseverance because you have allowed yourself to be wearied. Right, you have internally, you've already been defeated, even though you might, for whatever reason, continue outwardly to go on, right? Maybe maybe you feel like you have no choice, you know, but it's you've kind of lost your free will in pursuit of the good. You almost feel like you're being forced into this and blah, 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 but you wish you could not. So I think that's a really important and kind of interesting distinction to make, that perseverance is something done with goodwill because it's keeping its eyes focused on the good that you're pursuing, right? It's not just about this outward behavior. It's about that steadiness in pursuing a good that you have recognized as good for its own sake, right? That is perseverance. And so I really appreciated this distinction that he brought up, because if you had asked me before, I would have said, like, I don't know, they're pretty much the same. So
yeah,
not according to Thomas. I think that was
a good distinction.
It's helpful for me, yeah.
Very good distinction.
Mm-hmm.
I find that perseverance is difficult when, for me, I find that in prayer, when you are maybe in the 10th, 15th, 20th minute of prayer, and you're really kind of like, okay, I need to get going on my day. I need to like go do these other things.
Yeah.
And you know, I've prayed. I did that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I cut it off 2 minutes early, it's like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. This is where the obedience, I think, also comes in to play. It's like, no, I've said I'm going to pray, sit here and pray for 20 minutes, not 18, not 19, but 20 minutes. And so that very end, and this is like, I guess, kind of a foreshadowing of what our, you know, our spiritual life, like overall is like, you know, it's like, oh, well, I was good. I did well in my 20s and or my 30s and 40s and 50s and, you know, like, that was basically pretty good, right? Like, yeah, but what about your 60s, 70s, and 80s, or 90s? You know, like, you haven't completed the race yet. You haven't, mm-hmm. you haven't finished. And so I find that perseverance is the, where I find it the toughest is really the day 89 for Exodus 90, day 88, 89 for Exodus 90.
You feel like you're already there.
Yeah, it's like, I did the thing.
Uh-huh.
But being like having the fidelity to say like, nope, I've committed to this. I'm going to stick through it to the end.
Yes. Especially with I like the example of Exodus 90 because, you know, day 89, it does feel like you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know.
Or Lent. I mean, Lent's another great example. It's like, you know, like you're rolling up to Holy Week. Okay. I'm there, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. And it's like, Saturday, you know, like, I can kind of like,
you know,
I did it.
You get that one friend who's like, you know, technically.
Right.
Lent is over.
Right.
Yeah.
The Triduum is a different.
Lent ends when the Triduum, you know.
Right. And you're like, oh, well, you know, Saturday is kind of, you know, well, maybe.
And you're like, I don't know. Technically, that might be true, but you go up and you add up those 40 days. Okay. Tell me where that lands you.
Yeah.
You have to skip the Sundays.
Right.
Easter is where. Yeah.
So those are that's where I find perseverance to be difficult, is where the moments that I feel like they're insignificant, that they don't really mean anything.
Yeah.
But I have to choose to do it anyway. It's that whole what you were talking about earlier. It's like the longevity of it, how long it is. To persevere through. Not sure. How difficult, because it's not difficult to sit for another minute and a half to pray. It's not actually difficult.
It's objectively easy.
Right. But
it doesn't feel easy.
But I don't want to do it anymore. It's
there could be nothing easier than to just sit and do nothing. I mean, you're not doing nothing, but you know, just to sit there for two more minutes. There really, like, what could be easier than that?
But it's a strengthening of the will.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Thomas also says that perseverance is one of the essential things for our heavenly reward. So, you know, if we're trying to store up treasure in heaven, right? If we want to build eternal wealth for ourselves, ultimately for the glory of God. He says that, you know, merit, you know, that heavenly reward which we might receive out of the goodness and charity, you know, of our Lord for the good things done here on earth. Merit depends not only on the act, but on perseverance in the act. So starting well isn't what matters. It's about ending well, right? You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had really good intentions when I started. And it just, but without perseverance, without the ability to see that good through to the end, then you lose the merit for the thing that you were intended.
I think the toughest part is that because you can't see the fruits instantly in your perseverance, right? Because you can't see the, okay, I inputted this, I should be getting outputs here. That's what makes it difficult, right? It's like, I don't know, I'm putting all this time and energy in. I can't see what the value is immediately.
Yeah.
Which makes it difficult.
Because it takes so long.
Right.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. This is an episode inspired by my sow. He's outside persevering at this moment.
I feel like she feels like it's a really long time.
Yeah, well,
12 hours of labor is a long time.
It's just inspired by her because animals don't actually possess virtue.
Mm-hmm.
But they can exemplify their characteristics.
Supernatural virtue. Yeah.
They can exemplify the traits of virtue. And so, you know, cheers to her. Her name is Miss Piggy.
Man, that is, how'd you come up with that name?
It's real tough. Now, she's white / pink, sort of like Miss Piggy. Look, I don't name any of the animals, so.
Your kids do.
They are what they are. And sometimes my wife, she might name some.
Oh, nice.
But we're talking about perseverance. Over the break, Adam, you and I were talking about some other people who have talked about perseverance, podcasts. You know, this is a virtue that you secular people talk about, you know, whether you're listening to business, reading a book on business practices or...
Leadership.
Leadership, exactly. So it's a very common thing. You know, the virtues over the last few years have become popular again in a sort, you know, in a secular, there's like
a definitely stoic way.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. That you need to buckle down and do these things. It's going to pay off in the end. And that's, of course, it's true, you know, to some extent. But did you want to share anything about what was the quote? You had a great quote that you were reading. You don't want to do that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I can do that. Just to kind of piggyback off what we were talking about at the very end of the last segment. So basically, when you're choosing a lower short-term payout for a different long-term value. So like at the very end of like what I was talking about with prayers, like sometimes it's hard to persevere because you don't see this short-term game, right? Like that's why also getting into the habit of working out is difficult because it's not like you can go curl 40-pound dumbbells and then go look in the mirror and be like, wow, I'm just so much stronger.
You don't even look good like after you leave the gym for the first time.
Right. But there's no short-term, there's very little short-term value or short-term gain, but there's a long-term value.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more that you get integrated into the virtuous life, the less that you need these short-term gains and the less you actually find them even valuable because your ultimate end is focused towards the long-term gain, mainly to have eternal life with our Lord forever in heaven. And
right.
So it creates this desire for pure charity for our Lord. Not like I'm doing this because I love the Lord.
Right.
Not because I want to be, not because I want to be this virtuous man or this thought process of being this virtuous man or loving, like to be a good friend. It's like, no, I love you because I love the Lord and mm-hmm. he loves you more than I love you. And so I want to do good for you because I love our Lord and he told me to do it.
Right. Yeah. So, and I think this is exactly the practical application. It's like, how do you grow in fortitude? First of all, you have to know the good. That's a big if, right? If you know the good, you have to keep your eyes focused on it and you have to forget the other things. You have to pursue that good for its own sake, right? Write it down. What is that good that you're pursuing?
Yeah, because you actually can't persevere in anything if you refuse to choose anything.
Right.
You can't persevere if you don't choose something.
Yes, but you have to choose a good. It can't just be anything. This is exactly why the devils don't have perseverance. They play the long game, right? They do all of these other things that are associated with perseverance. You know, on the face, it might look like, wow, the devils have a lot of perseverance. You know, they don't actually need you to sin today. They just need you to stop trying tomorrow. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're totally willing to play that game about, you know, they play incremental, just a little bit, right? Because they're willing to be patient, because they know your nature. I'm talking specifically you, actually.
Oh, yeah, I know, you're pointing at
me.
Yeah,
I know. And so they're willing to play this long game, but they don't have perseverance because it's not oriented towards a good.
Yeah, and I think perseverance, okay, so I think one thing I do want to talk about really quick is like, in order for us to persevere in the virtuous life, you have to choose, like you talked about, you have to choose the good. But there's a lot of goods out there. Mm-hmm. And so like, wanting everything is the fastest way to quit everything. So like, you can't choose, I want to be a good husband and also be out on the beach every single day and also be the best father and the most successful businessman and be able to be in Paris every other week and to be able, like, you can't choose all the goods.
And praying all of the Liturgy of the Hours in Latin.
And every hour. You can't choose all the goods. If you try to choose all of them, you're going to do none of them.
Correct.
And so this is why, I mean, even St. Alphonsus Liguori talks about this. Like, you want to be holy. It's like, he has this a whole book on like 12 steps of holiness. It's basically just choose one virtue each month that you are going to focus on and just be hyper-focused on growing in this virtue alone. Mm-hmm. Not any, like, just this one.
Which, doesn't that sound a lot like very, like, popular business advice today?
You know? Of course.
I mean, you think that these business tycoons of modern era, it's like, wow, oh gosh, how did you discover, you know, like, what a brilliant insight you've had, except that it's not new. It's been around forever, and exactly stuff like this. You know, hyper-focus on one thing at a time, because actually you can't do even, you can't even really do two things at a time. Just do this one thing. Pick the good, pick the highest good, you know, and do this one thing that you can do today. And actually that does, it works great also in your business. I mean,
this is also
great
advice for everything. This is what made Dave Ramsey so popular. Right? He said, like, okay, figure out like what all your expenses are, like what all your debts are, and then focus on that, on the lowest debt and pay that one off.
Right.
And get that one off the books and do everything you can to get that one off the books. And then when that one's done,
do the next one.
And then do the next one.
Yeah.
But just be hyper focused on that one, getting that one paid off.
And put all your money in an envelope. It's the only way this works.
But I mean, that's essentially like how he's made a bunch of money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, he's
helped a lot of people.
He's helped a ton of people. And yeah. But it's to be hyper focused on one thing.
Yeah. So there is a, Adam, you were explaining this to me over the break, which I thought was very interesting. I hadn't really thought about how there is a vice opposed to every virtue. And most virtues have two opposing vices, because the traditional explanation of a virtue is that it's the middle road. It's this median way, the middle between two extremes. You know, you can go too
deficient or too excessive.
Or too excessive, that's right. So, you know, generosity is this perfect between like miserliness and just total recklessness with your finance. You know, just like giving everything away, mm-hmm. which is, that's a deficiency. Or it's an excess mm-hmm. versus being miserly and I don't, you know,
frugal and
being
just
humbug
like,
and you don't
frugal,
give,
but like, just
I don't like I don't I'm give it to it. Anybody, right? And most of the virtues exist in this paradigm, but you know, some of them don't. The theological virtues don't. You can't have too much charity, too much faith, too much hope. Perseverance is one of these things which I hadn't really thought of before.
Mm-hmm.
So
the deficiency there is in instability, right? Which is totally understandable. The easiest way to not persevere in something, which is a long period of time to be able to persevere in something, right?
Is to stop.
Is to have instability, right? Is to not have order.
Yeah.
Create chaos, create disorder, create instability in like what you're like the rhythm of your life. It's very easy to not persevere because you're not trained in giving yourself those time periods. But the excess, there is no virtue or vice that is of excess in perseverance because you can't persevere too much.
Yeah, you can't pursue the good for too long.
Right.
Right. The good is the good and it ought to be pursued.
Right.
You know, there is the only thing that you might be able to do is pursue goods in a disordered way. So either you're pursuing
a lower good
over a higher good, right? And so that might have the appearance of like, hey, no, this is too much. This is too much. You're persevering in it too much. Really, it's not. It's just disordered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not too much pursuing. You can't pursue the good too much. You can pursue goods in a disordered way,
mm-hmm.
right? But that was, I just appreciated that insight that there is no excess of perseverance. So what would you say is just a good, I'm going to put you on the spot here, a good, and just, we've got about a minute left. How can someone put this into practice? Like, you know, how can you grow in perseverance starting tomorrow? What is something that men can do?
Write down the most important things that that are in your life, prayer, family, your vocation, what the top four things that are important in your life. And what is one thing that you have to do for each of those things
every day?
Every day to fulfill your duty as
a
man.
It. Oh, that's good.
And make sure that that one thing is fulfilled that day.
So these are the four things that you will do every day before you do anything
before
else.
Before I do anything else.
These come before everything else.
Right.
Everything else must be sacrificed so you can do these four things.
That'd be big.
We'll have a little bit more to say on the other side of the break. Go check us out on the podcast. You can hear the rest of our conversation. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Was that okay? I mean, you kind of put me on the spot with 1 minute
left. That was
great,
dude. It was way better than I thought you were going to do.
Good.
I was I'm going to have to write that down.
You were like, you said, all right, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm like, okay. I could probably work through this.
It's only just because you love to do that to me. This is like one
what?
Of your pastimes. Oh,
what?
Yes. Don't give me
that
this.
That doesn't even sound like me.
Yeah, I know. At all. But it's usually because I'm so good at it. That's the thing.
But it's like...
In all humility.
But you were like, let me put you on the spot. I'm like, okay, well, I can probably work through this. You give me a couple of minutes. And then you're like, and we have a minute left. I'm like, okay, buckle up.
I need a homer from you. Right now.
Yeah.
One pitch. Yeah. This is all you get.
Big time softball.
We're not doing three pitches.
Yeah.
Great job, Adam.
Thank you.
This is why you have a podcast.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Probably.
I don't know.
Nobody actually really knows why we have a podcast.
It's debatable.
Somehow, it just happened.
Yeah.
Can I put you on the spot again since you're like, we're on such a...
Yeah, let's go.
You know, like, I feel like you're
hot.
Let's try to persevere.
You're hot right
now.
Let's try to persevere.
So let's keep it going.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going. What is an element of your life where you have experienced, like, you feel like you have needed perseverance the most?
Prayer.
Yes.
Because this is what St. Teresa of Avila talks about, how when prayer becomes dry and prayer becomes where you don't feel like there's no consolation in prayer and you choose to do it anyway, that's the greatest the greatest gift that you can give
there's
the Lord.
There's more merit.
There's more charity involved because you're not, yeah, it's not anything that you're receiving, so to speak, but you're doing it out of pure love for our Lord. And I just find that, I mean, even I feel like that the season of life that I'm in with prayer right now, I don't feel like in my private prayer, I don't have a lot of consolation. And there's a lot of times where I feel right now like I'm praying just because of my family situation is like, I feel like that I'm praying out of a duty because like I have a lot of things that I need to be praying for, but not because I really want to be doing that.
Yeah, there have been times in my life where I would wake up and think, oh, let's do some praying, you know? Those times they were a long time ago. Just truthfully, you know, I don't wake up and think, oh, I'm so excited to pray. I don't even think like I'm so excited to be awake, okay? But even after I get up and I'm over that, I'm still not excited to pray. I would be more excited to do other things. Right, yeah. There are other things that I would be, in fact, excited to do. Sometimes I'm excited to go to work, even. There are many things that I get excited about. Prayer is just not usually one of them, you know, to be quite honest. But I would never not do it because I know how important it is in my life. It's something I've fallen in love with doing. Even though I don't get like deep consolation, right? These spiritual cookies that you've talked about. It's not a suffering for me to do, right? It's not, I don't find it to be onerous or challenge. I mean, prayer can be challenging to do well, right? But it's not hard, like we said in the beginning, to just sit there. You know, it's not like I'm going to the gym and having to exert, you know, all this energy and then like one more, you know, like you have to convince yourself I can do one more and it's just, you're just wearing out and you don't want to do one more, right?
Right.
That's not the way prayer is. It's different. I don't like look forward to doing it most days.
And because I do it, you know, I want to do it well. And so I try to do it well, and to do it well requires mental energy. It requires me to give myself up, like to say like I have to sacrifice my will and my desires of wanting to do these other things and these thoughts that are intruding into my mind while I'm praying and say like, no to those things to say yes to our Lord. And in prayer for me, a lot of times it becomes a psychological game of I have other things that I'm actually thinking about. And then it's like, well, I'm just actually just kind of like bringing this to the Lord. And like, now I'm just inviting him into this situation. So that way we can play this situation out.
Here, Lord, let's discuss my calendar for today together.
Right.
Cause I just want to think about it.
Yeah. And, those are the times that I have to say no.
Yeah.
And I'm not good at it a lot of times.
Right.
I'm not good at doing that because I have so many things that I feel like that I want to be doing.
Sure. But I do feel like your prayer life, this is the battleground of perseverance. This is where most it happens in your life.
I think another, sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think another one that comes to mind is fatherhood. The days that you're tired, you're exhausted, that you've been at work, that you come home, and it's like it would be very easy for me not to be, to be incredibly present to the kids, or to be very intentional to be a dad, and still be a good dad, but like not like be intentional about like sharing life together, like sharing moments together. But I'm called to do that, and I actually only have a few hours with them every day, and I need to be emotionally and physically and present to my kids during those time periods. And so I find that persevering in choosing to do that over Actually, I still have that other email that I didn't send out today that I need to make sure to send out before tomorrow hits. Or, I haven't paid that bill yet. Let me go pay that bill really fast. Yeah, or
I was going to bring this up because prudence, like all the virtues, is governed by the charioteer of prudence. Did I say prudence?
Yeah, you said...
Perseverance.
Thank you.
Is governed by prudence. And that means that because perseverance is a virtue that's pursuing the good, in order for it not to be disordered like we talked about, it pursues the good at the right time. And I think that this is a big one when it comes to fatherhood of, you're at the office. Oh, you're busy. You're working on things. But really, you should have left 30 minutes ago. Right? And sometimes it's easier just to stay at the office than go home and face the chaos of, family life, mm-hmm. crying, maybe diapers, whatever, messy house, all the things, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that at our judgment,
we have to be accountable.
It's coming up. It's going to be right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That, we need to pursue those goods at work. We need to work hard. We need to do all those things, but we need to be orderly. We need to say my work is done. And maybe I'm not saying it has to end at this time, but it's done. For the day. And now it's time to go do something else. And this is where perseverance, this is it, right? That we will remain, that we will sustain ourselves pursuing this good, which is honestly the good of fatherhood is higher than the good of your work.
Right. So when you asked at the end of the episode on the radio, how do you live out perseverance in your day-to-day life? And I said, like, okay, so figure out what are the four things that are the most important things called to your vocation. So you have your prayer life, your relationship with God, your relationship with your vocation, your spouse, the fruits of the vocation to your children, and then the vocation that you have to provide for them in whatever that means is, whatever your job is.
Yeah.
And so then, okay, those are the four things in my life that I have to, you can extrapolate and build upon those and say community and friendships and everything else.
Absolutely,
but like
sure.
The four highest things that I'm going to be held accountable for and that I'm called to are those four things right there. And each one of those things is going to require me to do at least one thing that day to fulfill that obligation. And it's in that order: God, my wife, my children, my vocation.
By hierarchy. Yeah. Not by maybe timeline for the day, but by hierarchy.
And so like, I can't let, even the time with my kids over trump being present to my wife. Right. And I can't let the time that I have with my kids and my wife trump not praying to our Lord. And mm-hmm. I can't let my job completely take over not being able to pray, not be able to be present to my wife, and not being able to be a father to my children. And so having those four things and at least one thing within those four things that you have to do every single day and making sure they stay in those hierarchy of order is very difficult to do. And it does take perseverance.
Yeah. Order is, keeping an ordered life is like the secret.
Yeah. Well, and the deficiency is instability.
Yeah.
Right?
If you have order, it turns out you kind of have all the virtues. Right? That if you are well ordered, that means you have you have a symphony of virtues behind this order.
Ooh, I want a symphony of virtues.
Yeah. Dude.
What's the crescendo? Perseverance.
Charity.
Winning the race. Like charity, running to yeah, win the race.
Yeah, charity. Divine. Sublime charity. Mm-hmm. Sublime charity. I like that. That's a band name. Totally a band name right there. Charity Sublime.
No, the other way is better.
You like Sublime Charity as a band name? I think Charity Sublime is a better band name. Hop on our Patreon page and tell us which band name you think is better. But also, seriously, if you're a patron and you have a story or something you want to share about perseverance, let us know, because I'd love to see it, love to read about it.
We're hopefully going to be starting a Bible study for our patrons as well, coming up pretty soon with a good friend of ours. So if you're looking
His name is Pope Leo. He's going to be conducting it for us.
Wow.
That's a lie. Yeah, I'm still working on honesty. It's something I'm still haven't quite got that one. It's not quite a habit. I don't have it.
Listen, I'm a broken man. I got problems.
I have so many problems.
But yeah, that would be, we're going to be trying to do that with our a good friend Clinton, to be having a Bible study for our patrons. So
very good.
Be seeing you.
Be seeing you. We're on the Lord's team. Raise your glass.